Now then, I want to say this. Tim, that's my son, has a big toe, and he's going to kick off.
Just a little word here. First of all, a thank you to David Ray for inviting us and allowing us to have this class. To his assistant Mandy for her help. To Tim Sensing there for helping with the technology. I also want to say that I'll tell a little story and say this. This last weekend, my wife Jan and I went with a couple of friends here and did something we rarely do, which is we went to a concert. We attended a pop concert for that was held by Neil Diamond. Now, we got the cheap seats, literally. I mean, we were in the top row, as far away as you can get from the stage, because that's what we could afford. But that's why we went to this. Now, I say this because this is Neil Diamond's 50th anniversary tour. He released his first album in 1966.
Wow.
So he's been at it 51 years. And I was sitting there listening to him. I really enjoy his music. I have, ever since I can remember. At one point in the show, he went around to his band, and he talked about how most of the band had been with him the whole time. And there was a particular guitar player who was now playing in the band with his son. Think about that. And there's some parallel there. But as I heard that, I thought, well, Neil, I'll give you 10 more years, and then you can match my own dad.
Yeah.
But you'll never match the impact that he has had on people and the way that he's had it in 60 years.
Amen.
And so, Daddy, I think about you, and I say thank you for that.
I sent him $1 million.
Bible and related professors there. I think of my first professor, Carl Spain, in New Testament. I think of Tom Albright. I think of Everett Ferguson. I think of Neil Lightfoot. I think of Leonard Allen. I think of just so many who just shaped me in my study and love of the Word. And I give thanks to God for ACU and doing that, and pray that it will continue to be forward-looking and doing this for others for coming generations. So I just had that on my heart and needed to say it. Can we jump now back into Deuteronomy chapter 10?
All right, kick it off.
Kick it off. All right, here we go. So yesterday we said that we were focusing on 10 or 11 verses, Deuteronomy chapter 10, kind of a climax in the second speech of Moses, which extends from the last paragraph of Deuteronomy 4 through chapters 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, hits a high point, and then continues on, just keeps rolling through 11. And in this passage, it talks about, we're talking about core principles. And in this passage, it just, gets down to kind of the core of the core, which is the relationship. The relationship between God on the one hand and his people on the other. And so we decided that yesterday, the first day, we would talk about God in this relationship. And today we're going to talk about his people, which today is folks like you and me in this. So yesterday, talking about God, let's see, there were three points that we made. Help me. Getting past two is always difficult for me at my age. Number one, that God is creator and continuing giver of life. Number two, the relationship is intimate, daily, personal. It's not just a contract, it's a personal thing. And number three, that God is just relentlessly intent on doing justice and righteousness. So with that in mind, let's look at now the human side, the human dimension of this relationship. So do you want me to read the verses, or do you want to read the verses here?
You read verses 12 and 13, and then I want to make a couple of comments.
All right. So start, yeah. So there's about six verses out of these 10, five or six, you know, about half and half, have to do with humans. So here's verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good.
Can you also read verse 20?
I can do that. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear.
Now, when you read those two passages, there are about seven statements about what God wants us to do. And I want to cover two or three things, and then I'll turn it over to Tim. The first thing that I want to emphasize very briefly, he says, what does the Lord your God, the New RSV says, what does he require of you? I don't know about your version, but the verb there in Hebrew is sha'al, and it means ask. Yeah. What does the Lord your God ask of you? He's making a plea. And then he lays out several things, and I want to talk about two of these. I can talk about all of them, but I want Tim to do part of it. And that is the two verbs, to fear and to love. To fear and to love. Now, a lot of times my students will ask me, what does the Hebrew mean? And I say, well, in English it means about the same thing. And what I'm trying to emphasize is that fear can have a negative connotation or a positive connotation. And so I'm going to try to emphasize that. I hope I don't take too much time. But turn with me to 1 John, that's in the New Testament, if you haven't found that. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse 18. You know this very well. You probably preached this. 1 John 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love. Hello? And yet here in Deuteronomy 10, it says, fear the Lord, and it says, love the Lord. I'm trying to emphasize something. So it says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Now, what I want to emphasize is that's a negative connotation of fear. That means terror, fear, horror. A very negative thing. Scared to death. But on the other hand, when the Bible says, fear God, that cannot mean to be scared to death of God. It has an entirely different connotation. And so what I would emphasize is that fear means to stand in awe of God, to honor God, to hold God in the highest regard. Now then, let me back off just for a minute and talk to you about love. And this time, I'm going to go to the Old Testament and go to Hosea chapter 6. And Hosea has always been confused, and you'll see how confused he is here. Hosea chapter 6, look at verse 4. This is on page 792 in the True Bible. Okay. Hosea 6, 4. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. We have a term for that. It has to do with dogs. We call it puppy love. We have students all the time, and they say, oh, I'm in love. The next day, they're not in love, you know. And so many times we use the word love in so many different ways. Two verses later, look at there, in verse 6, God says, I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. Now then, you Hebrew scholars know that love in verse 4 is ahav. In verse 6, it's chesed or chasad. But really, that doesn't make much difference because there are other texts where you have ahav, and it means steadfast love. Steadfast love means that you are totally committed, you're totally committed to some person. And so I'm going to stick my neck way out, and then Tim will jump all over me. And that is when it says here in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, it says, fear God and fear the Lord. And then again in the same verse, love God. I think they are essentially synonyms. See what I'm saying? Because if you stand in awe of God, if you hold God in the highest respect, if you honor God, then you're going to love God genuinely. Now, I'm going to hit you with one other thing. Tim, you're going to get this. Over in Leviticus, you know all my words. Okay, Leviticus chapter 17. I'm sorry, Leviticus 19. And look at verse 3. And you see how these different perversions translate this word. This is the word yareh or yirat. And so in chapter 19 and verse 3, you shall each fear your mother and father. Do you have parents? You probably don't. Now then, are you scared to death? Now there are some people that are scared to death. But it's so obvious. This is the same thing as honor father and mother. I know, in the new RSV it says revere. You know, like Paul revere, it's revere. And so you have fear, but fear and revere, that's the same word. Okay, Tim, jump all over me.
Well, let me give you one other example. You might look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Here we are at the climax of the story of the Exodus. The people are at the western edge of the Red Sea with facing off against the Egyptian army. And it says in verse 10, that the people were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And then in verse 13, Moses says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. And that's the word yareh. Do not fear. So Moses is teaching them that fear is a bad thing, right?
Yep.
Wrong. Go to the end of the chapter. And if you go to the end of the chapter, after the people have been rescued, gone through the Red Sea with the great parting and all of that.
He's in verse 31.
Says, now when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, what did the people do? They feared. Now wait, Moses had just told them don't fear. And now they are being applauded for fearing. Why? Because they have feared the Lord and put their trust in Him.
And
here's
let me...
your two sides of fear.
Yeah. Let me tell you, in Hebrew, just like in English, it's the same word.
Yeah.
Fear can be positive or negative.
Now,
okay, you want to get to the next one?
I've got a question for you.
I don't know.
Well, that's what I have. But go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. All right, here's my question. I've been ruminating on this one today. Again, it says, now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, here's my question. I think that's what you're getting at in talking about love, that you know, you can have puppy love or you can have genuine deep down love. Love is with all your heart. Now here it says, serve the Lord with all your heart. We're going to go in just a second to the greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your heart. So here's my question. You've got all these verbs there in verse 12 and then verse 13. Do you think that that phrase, with all your heart and with all your soul, applies to all of those verbs?
I'm prejudiced, yes. I think so.
Well, this is one place where I'm prejudiced right along with you.
So I think when it says fear, I think it says when it says fear the Lord your God, He says with all your heart. Walk in all His ways with all your heart and all that.
And love Him with all your
That's
heart.
Right.
And serve Him with all your heart. Yeah.
Now, do you want to develop any of those other verbs?
Wow, we could. I mean, they're served as keep His commandments. I want to come back around to it this way.
Okay.
Okay? With all your heart. Because, as we all know, the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And that's back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is early, kind of early, in this speech. But here's the question, and I ask this question of my college students every year, and then we kind of walk through it together. The question is, what does it mean when it says, with all your heart? Love God with all your heart. All right? So here's the way that I get at it. I take the word heart, I look it up, and I see how the word heart is used by Moses throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And by doing that, I think it opens up many facets of what it means to love God with all your heart. So let's start with what you're going to do it just in this second speech. So bear with me for just a couple of minutes. Start here in chapter 5. Start in chapter 5. Okay, as we talked about yesterday, chapter 5, the highlight of chapter 5 is Moses reminding the people word for word about the Ten Commandments. So he says, here's what I told you back at Mount Sinai, yea, these many years ago. And he goes through the Ten Commandments. And then toward the end, after that, toward the end of chapter 5, he then talks about how they responded at that time to the giving of those laws. And he said, the way that you responded was, you said, we're scared. In verse 25, now why should we die? This great fire is going to consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God. So they then tell Moses, you go tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and do it. And then notice what God says. It says, the Lord heard you when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts, there's our word, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Are you listening? Are you listening? He says that they said our attitude is that we will hear what God says and do it. And he says, wow, I wish their hearts were always in that place of fear. So number one here, what is it to love the Lord with all your heart? It is to have a heart that fears and listens to God.
Yep.
Well, I think that's something that our generation needs to hear much, much more. I think we've got some people who think, oh, I know better than what it says in the Bible about what is right or wrong. And we need to develop hearts that love the Lord, hearts that fear him, and recognize that what he has to say is the main thing, the most important thing, worth hearing.
Yeah.
That's what fear involves. That's what respect involves. He knows what he's talking about, and we need to listen to that. So that's one thing. Something else you want to add in there?
Well, the only thing is, on this side of the big pond, we're reading the new RSV, ha ha ha, and it translates that as mind.
Well,
but here's the thing about it. The word lav or labav has so many different connotations, and depending on the verb and the adjective, it can have to do with thinking, or it can have to do with emotions. And so I favor, believe it or not, I believe heart is the better translation. So I'm with you on that. But they're reading mind, and they need to rub it out, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just don't let the elders see that.
That's right. What's that?
Let's go to a couple of more places where Moses uses heart. We can get more idea of what it means to love the Lord with all your
heart. It's getting a little weaker. It's getting a little weaker. Go ahead.
Is the sound getting weaker?
Now try.
Okay. So, a second one. We talked about some of these yesterday. Chapter 7, verses 17. The translation I'm looking at says, you may say to yourselves, but it's literally, you might say in your heart.
Yep.
See, just like Mary pondered things in their heart, when they think, they're saying things in their heart. So you might say in your heart, these nations are stronger than us, we can't beat them. But he says, don't think that. Remember what I did to Egypt for you before. And if you go 10 verses earlier, you'll see where he chose them. He brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so he said, so in other words, in times of distress, if you love the Lord with all your heart, you're going to trust in him in times of distress. All right, the third one. Go to chapter 8 again. Chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. And here again, he says, now you might say to yourselves, you might say in your heart, my hand and my own strength, what is it? My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But you got to remember that it's the Lord your God, that it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Now, I talked about this yesterday, and I think I've maybe hit it a little bit too hard. Let me come at it from a different way today. I think I got a good positive example for us. When I read this verse, one of the things I think about is professional athletes. elite. And thinking right now of, I know it's football season there on your side of the pond. Not soccer, but football. And so what you'll notice if you're watching many games, when somebody scores a touchdown, makes a good run, they'll often point to the sky. Why are they doing that? They say, thank you, God. See, I think that is a wonderful thing. Yeah. Because here are folks who know how much work it takes. They know how much effort and sweat and toil and repetition and practice it takes. But they also know everybody on that field has put in that effort. And they know that the reason that they're able to do what they're able to do is they have a gift. Yeah. And that's what they're acknowledging. On top of all the things they've done, they're wise enough to recognize the gift from God that they have. And I just wish in more areas of our lives, we would more overtly acknowledge that. That's what he's calling for here. Not that you don't have to try hard, but that no matter how hard you try, you still acknowledge the fact that God has given you a gift. And that is just so, so important. That's again a part of loving God with all your heart, serving God with all your heart.
Okay, time's moving on. We talked about fear. We talked about love. I want to touch on a couple of other things. One of them is to serve. And sometimes people think that to serve means to worship. And I think that's a part of it. But I think it's very obvious that to serve is to also serve other people. And I think it's very important for us to realize that that's one of our responsibilities. Now, there's another thing. This is going to shock you. Are you sitting down? I want you to look down at verse 16.
Oh, you're not going to go there.
Yes, we are. Verse 16 says, circumcise then the foreskin of your heart. And do not be stubborn like Tim any longer. Now, I think we're a little bit confused about the idea of circumcision. When we think of circumcision, we're thinking about trusting in an external act. And it is true that beginning with Abraham, God commanded that all male children at 8 days of age are going to be circumcised physically. I want to emphasize there is a lot of emphasis in the Old Testament as well as in the New of the circumcision of the heart. And I want to underline two or three things, and then Tim can jump all over that. In chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and look at verse 6. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you might live. Then we go to Jeremiah. I'm going real fast. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4. And if you guys have an outline, it's there. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Thus says the Lord, break up your fallow ground. Do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord your God, remove the foreskin of your hearts. That occurs over and over again. Again, look at Jeremiah chapter 9. And look at verses 25 and 26. Jeremiah 9, 25, 26. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will attend to all those who are circumcised only in the foreskin. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the Ammonites, Moab, and all those with shaven temples who live in the desert, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Now then, I want to capitalize on something. If you differ with me, you're wrong. You know very well that in Romans chapter 2, if you want to put that down, Romans chapter 2, 25 through 29, Paul is using the very same language that we have in Deuteronomy and Jeremiah. But I want to capitalize on Colossians. I hope you're sitting down. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Colossians 2:11. In him, that is Christ, in him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Big surprise. Paul is comparing baptism with spiritual circumcision. And what that means is you put off the old man and put on the new man. And I think it's very important for us to realize that right here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16, what does it say again? Circumcise the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. Tim, jump all over that.
All right, let's just add to that just a little bit. Starting there in Deuteronomy 10:16, where it says, do not be stubborn. Did you look up the literal Hebrew on that one too?
You mean circumcise or foreskin?
Stubborn.
No,
stubborn.
Second part about don't be stubborn.
Oh, stubborn. Okay, I didn't look that up.
Yeah, it's the expression. Do not stiffen your neck.
Stiffen your neck. Yeah.
Yeah, stiffen your neck. You know, so you're resisting. That's the SEO ox not wanting you to tell him where to go. So you're stiffening your neck. So the opposite of that is humility, is submitting.
Submit.
It is giving in to that. So let me give you one other passage, and then I want to go back to it. I think you are exactly right, and I just want to reinforce it here. If you go back to Leviticus, everybody again, Leviticus chapter 26.
Yeah.
He's talking about a time when you might be exiled into another land and think, you know, you're really afraid things are bad. But then he says this, beginning in chapter 26, verse 40. He says, but if the people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors, their unfaithfulness, their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them, so that I sent them into the land of their enemies, then he says, when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they have paid for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land.
Yeah.
So notice the parallel. He links together uncircumcised hearts and humility.
Okay.
So to die, which is what we do in baptism.
That's right.
I mean, doesn't Philippians 2 say that Jesus submitted himself even to death?
Put off the old man.
All those things tie together.
Okay.
Right. Is it okay?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Let me hit y'all.
I got one more thing.
No.
It will lead into our final bit. We have like 9 minutes here. But go back to Jeremiah 9.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah 9. That part where you read about how those nations are uncircumcised.
Yep.
And even Israel is uncircumcised in heart.
In heart.
Now, what does that mean, though? What is the evidence that they are uncircumcised in heart? I think we're told that in the two verses before. In the two verses before, Jeremiah says, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom. Let not the strong boast of their strength. Let not the rich boast of their riches." No, don't boast about your education, your military, and your finance, wealth. But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these things I delight.
Yeah.
Now notice, first of all, to know God. Talk about that, Daddy, to know God.
Well,
and that gets into our next point about the intimate intimate personal relationship of people with God.
Okay, you got me off track just a little bit, but I'll just tell you, to know God biblically is to have an intimate, daily, personal relationship with God. It is not knowing a bunch of facts about God. And an illustration I like to use, it occurs many times in the Bible, and that is, a husband knows his wife. Okay, I know Evelyn. Does that mean I have 565 facts about Evelyn? No. It means we have an intimate, daily, personal relationship. And I think that's what it's talking about when it talks about knowing God.
Yeah, and I think that's what Deuteronomy 10 is calling for.
Yeah.
In calling for circumcision of the heart and loving and serving God with all your heart, is talking about that sort of relationship as we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's all wrapped up together here, I believe.
Let me hit you with a quickie and then we'll go to the last one.
Go on.
There are several texts in Paul that say circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. That's pretty interesting. And you have a couple in Galatians, but there's a very interesting one in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Look out. But obeying the commandments of God is everything. And I'm so afraid that many times we want to put off the idea of the responsibility of obeying God's commandments. And that's the last thing that he names there in that list, and that is keeping God's commandments with all your heart and all your soul. Okay, the last thing we're going to talk about, you don't like this, but we're right, and that is down here in verse... in verse 20. Now, all of you know Hebrew. And since you know Hebrew, when you read that, you find out that the emphasis is on God. It's like a spider that mistarantulates it. And so, actually, in verse 20, what it really says is, the Lord your God, you shall fear. Him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast. And by his name, here we are, you shall swear. I did not read the Bible, but this is a commandment. We're supposed to swear by the name of the Lord. Why is that important, and why do we avoid that? I'm going to stick my neck way out and say, I think to swear means I give you my double-barrel guarantee. I promise you. I tell you I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. And Jesus picked up on that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37, and he says, what it's all about is, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I'm sorry, it has to do with honesty, in my opinion. Tim, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and as we talked about, it's, we need to realize that if we know God, if we are in relationship with Him, with Christ, we wear His name.
Yeah.
We wear His name. And so what we do, the behavior, the attitudes that we exhibit are seen as a reflection of Him. And we need to take that responsibility very, very seriously because He does. The way that we wave His name around. Yeah. But as you were saying, Dave, this verse is emphasizing God over His people. So they are swearing by Him. By Him you are swearing. It is His name. Not by yourself. You're not giving yourself credit. You're not holding yourself up for examination. You're holding Him up and giving Him the honor and Him the glory and Him the praise. And in fact, it even says that He is your praise. Right?
Okay.
Do we have time for one more? I see two.
Yeah,
minutes.
I think so. We've got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. All right. And I'll do it this way. Now, we talked yesterday at the end. The last thing that we talked about with God was that He is relentless in pursuing justice and righteousness. And so I would bring it out in this way. If you go all the way back up to verse 12, the first thing it says to do is to fear the Lord. The second thing is what? Walk in His ways.
Yeah, walk in all His ways.
Walk in all His ways. Now think about that for a moment. Here's the image that's coming to my mind. I'm thinking of someone going through, say, the wilderness, going through the forest over and over and over again, establishing his way, his paths that he's walking on. And what he's saying is follow in my path. Imitate my behavior. And so his behavior is to relentlessly go for justice and righteousness. And he gives an excellent example of this. He says, I show love to the stranger, to the sojourner, to the alien. And you shall do the same, because you were strangers, aliens, sojourners in Egypt. And I delivered you. And so you are to show them love as well. And if you go to the end of chapter 24, you'll see that spelled out even more. You shall do unto others as I have done unto you, is basically what it said.
Did y'all pick up there on verse 19? Did you see that? You shall love the stranger, the alien. For you are strangers in the land of Egypt. God has dealt with you as a stranger, therefore you are to love strangers. See what I'm saying? Don't.
Yeah.
Okay,
Just imitating.
Yeah. We've had a party, the party's over.
Yeah.
Thanks for being there.
Bye.
Go back to bed.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
I've written some books this year, but not. I haven't brought them.
That we were just resting.
We were resting. We're old. I appreciate all you guys coming. Okay. I appreciate all of you guys coming, all you foreigners, and also students at ACU. I appreciate you guys. So get out of here. You're scaring me.
Thank you again, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. What's your name again?
Aaron.
Aaron, okay.
Thanks.
Well done, brother.
Yes, sir.
Always love it. Always love it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes.
I talked to him, Andy. Yeah, I did. Well, the same thing that you said, basically. Yeah, so we exchanged business card and the email already. So, yeah, I told him if there's anything I can do,
I'll join you.
I'm connected. Well, church is crushed in the States. I know a lot of people in Korea as well as here. So, if you need help, I can make connections. Yeah, it's a big church.
Tim, sensing the right
stuff. Oh, no, I don't remember you at all.
Okay, this is the Psalms CS Lewis class.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
Anything next?
Well,
all right.
How are you doing,
Kelly? I need to come to ACU. We can learn a lot of things.
bet you know how.
Huh?
You know how.
Purpose.
Yes. Oh, you're, I thought you were.